All right. Well, thank you, worship team, for leading us in a time of worship. We're so grateful for you and everybody who serves here at Hope Church. We're so thankful for all of you making this happen. Hey, if you're new with us, we're in a series called Win the Day. That actually says Kiss the Wave, which was last week's point. I think you saw the new point. It's coming. But here's what we're talking about. We're talking about building the habits we need to get closer to God. Okay? We have seven habits. We're on the third one. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to John chapter 5. We're going to be in John chapter 5. And I just wanted to let you know about one of the behaviors I have. I have a behavior that happens nearly every morning. I get up, I use the bathroom. That's not the behavior, okay? But that is what happens. I walk down the hall like a zombie, all right? I grab the coffee grounds, you know, out of the cupboard. I measure 3 scoops. I heat up the water in an electric kettle. This is how I do it. I pour it over a Bodum pour over carafe. You know what those are? Like, they got the big bubble on the bottom. I turn around. I open the fridge. I get the half and half out of the fridge. I put my palm to my forehead because I forgot half and half at the store. This happens a lot. I grab the milk instead. And I enjoy a fresh cup of coffee. Anybody else enjoy a fresh cup of coffee in the morning? Come on, amen. I knew someone would say amen to that. Come on. If I were to hit the record button, right, the first 10 minutes of my day would look identical, right? Every single time, every single day. That is called automatic, all right? That is called a habit. I have a habit. According to a Duke University study, 45% of our daily behavior is automatic. Right, we do it the same every time. We have an automatic life. And that life, you know, the automatic life, it's the default of what we do day in and day out if we don't intentionally change that. And if we let life just run, right, much of it will get stuck on automatic. Right now, I wish that my spiritual habits, what we're talking about today, I wish my spiritual habits were automatic. But since they don't seem to form as easily as my habitual coffee drinking, right? We have to get intentional about it. We have to get intentional about the other 55% of that, right? And then work on that 45%. That's what our next habit is all about. And it is called Eat the Frog. Eat the Frog. Guys, if you have a slide that says Eat the Frog, let's put that up. All right, we have Kiss the Wave. But Eat the Frog, pay no attention to Kiss the Wave. That was last week. Eat the Frog is what we're talking about today. Now, that is a strange, strange idea, isn't it? I once ate frog legs. I thought those were pretty good. You like frog legs? Yeah, I mean, I thought they were pretty good. So at least, you know, we have eaten some of a frog, right? But who wants to do that? Who wants to eat a frog? Nobody wants to do that. That's ridiculous. This is a strange idea. Maybe someone has eaten a frog. Did you guys do that, like at CIY or something? No? Okay. I'm not sure. Kind of a strange idea, but here's what the idea has come to mean over time. It means to do the hard stuff first in your day. Do the hard stuff. Now, some have credited this idea to Mark Twain, okay, who supposedly said, if you ever have to eat a live frog, it's best done first thing in the morning. I don't know why he said that, but that's Mark Twain. I also can't prove that Mark Twain said this because other people also said this. But we'll just say maybe Mark Twain said this. At any rate, it's been come to be kind of a well-known statement. That means doing the hard stuff. One of the hardest things to do is to get into that time with God. Time with God. Is that hard, do you think, for some of us? Time with God is hard. I do this first thing in the morning. I actually follow my wife's lead because she's way better at it than me. We do this first thing in the morning. And I had a really hard time with this for a long time. I really did, for many years. But to be honest, being a pastor, yeah, that was me when I woke up in the morning. I just wanted to get back in bed. I was like, no, God! I'm just kidding. We love you guys. I did feel that way, though, sometimes with reading the Bible. But being a pastor, you know, I feel a bit obligated, right, to spend time with God, right, whether in prayer or in the Word, because if I don't do it, how can I tell you to do it, right? So I got to do it. And so I have a little bit of that sense that I have to do it. But over time, I want to tell you, it has come to mean so much more to my day and my daily life. And it has helped me to win the day many times. Okay, and some days are hard to win, aren't they? Some days are brutally hard to come at you. And so on those days when I feel like I lose the day, I've had a lot of those days, I've come to attribute it, that feeling, to not spending enough time with the Lord. And it's pretty crazy how often those two things connect. Having a rough day, a bad day, and not spending time with the Lord. But here's the great news. I've done it so often now that I've flipped the script. Remember point one, flip the script? I've flipped the script on it, and now it's a lot easier for me to do, and it's something that I don't have to do, but I want to. I want to do it. Right? Amen? You struggle with that? I struggle with that. And so today, as we go into John chapter 5, I want to show you how much Jesus really cares about the spiritual formation in our lives. Okay, so that you will also want to. I want you to want to. Right? All right. We're going to be in John chapter 5. Remember I said that we flipped the script in our household on Monday nights. And so we're reading the book of John together as a family. I said that a couple weeks ago. So we were reading in the book of John as a family how Jesus healed this guy who had been an invalid for 38 years. And what that means is that he was too sick or weak to care for himself, quite possibly diseased for some reason. We don't know exactly what was wrong. But we pick it up here in John chapter 5, verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him this question. Do you want to? Do you want to get well? Do you want to? Do you want to? This is one of the greatest questions that Jesus ever asked anybody. And what's so interesting about that question is that this place was called Bethesda, translation, House of Mercy. The House of Mercy. So even though in this story, here we are in the House of Mercy, or in a place called the House of Mercy, Jesus still asks a question that is directed toward the level of our desire. Man, that's a key element in the healing process. Because once we are healed and that hard part is over, we still have to maintain the desire to seek the Lord for His mercy all the time. That's what's crucial to develop in our lives. We have to want to get better. And that means doing hard things and sometimes the hardest frog to eat, right? Is overcoming our own lack of desire to do what we must do, to do what we know we need to do. Tough frog to swallow, right? Let me just give a few examples here of hard stuff that Christians do, right? If you say you're a Christian and you follow Christ, here's some hard stuff that we have to do. How about this? Resisting temptation. That's not always easy. How about this? Loving one's enemies. Jesus tells us to do that. That's hard. That's hard to do sometimes. How about this? Enduring pain, suffering. A lot of people have been through a lot of hard stuff. Here's another one that's hard to do. How about this? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is hard to do, huh? Especially when you've been wronged. Whew, man, I want to hang on to that. I want to hang on to what that person did, or maybe even I got a problem between me and God right now because of what happened. Tough frog to swallow, huh? How about just simply this, trusting in God? That's hard sometimes, especially when you're going through really hard stuff. Very hard stuff. We've got to learn to do it. Now, this guy at the pool, at least he gave it a shot. He really tried to do his best. John 5:7 says this, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Now, that's kind of a strange response to what Jesus said. Why did he say that? Well, here's why, okay? Because in verse 4 is actually left out of some translations of the Bible. And you'll notice in our text, it's been left out. But verse 4 is left out of some translations of the Bible because it was not a part of some of the older manuscripts. There's a little controversy of whether verse 4 was there or not there. It doesn't really matter a whole lot for the interpretation. But here's what verse 4 said in other translations. It said this, "From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had." So that's what was going down. So here we are in this mass of people, and they're all wanting the same thing, right? They're fighting for a physical healing. Jesus comes into the picture, finds this guy, and what's he talking about? He's fighting for something deeper. Right, because that stuff all only goes so deep. Physical stuff. It has a limit. Right? God wants something deeper. He's addressing desire. And that desire can keep on going. It can keep on going deep into that water. I want to share this with you today. Look, the world out there is going to steal your desire. The world wants to steal that from you. How so? Well, how about this? How about making you feel useless for the last 38 years? that you've wasted your life and wasted your time and nothing you do is right. Right? Everything you do is wrong. It's all lies. It's all lies. And the world is trying to steal your desire and your joy. And the world will leave you behind. The world will leave you sitting on your mat with no help. Pushing their way to the front, leaving you at the back. And pretty soon, here's what becomes paralyzed. Our desire. Our desire becomes paralyzed. Boy, maybe we could apply this to some of our marriages. The world's just been beaten down on your marriage, and all of a sudden your desires are just drying up, right? The world wants to take that from you because of life's hardships that come. They want to take that. But we have to want to maintain our desire for Him. Would you agree with that? We have to want to. We got to work hard for that. You must want to. You have to thirst for Him in this world. Thirst is a great thing. It's a gift from God in our physical and spiritual self. Right? Because it leads us to look for satisfaction. And we need to be satisfied. That's why we're thirsty. But in our lives, you know, these ailments and these troubles and these times when no one is helping us, they cause a thirst in us. And we need to recognize that this thirst needs to lead us to the waters of mercy. It needs to lead us to Jesus. These are the habits that we have to have when life gets hard. You know, the world, you're going to see the world gather. Always gather here, gather there. We want to see the miraculous. We want to see the physical marvels of the world. But Jesus' question gets to the very heart of the matter. What do you want? I want water. I think I'm thirsty now. And I'm coughing. But that's okay. What do you want? What do you want? So the man in the story, he doesn't exactly answer the question, does he? He doesn't exactly answer it right, but at least he tries. And you know what Jesus says? He says, that's good enough. Let's go. And Jesus in verse 8 says, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Amen. Wait, I'm going to say that again because I'm going to ask for an amen this time. Come on. Jesus said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Boom. Come on. And the man does just that. He does it. And it blows my mind that no one else at this house of mercy, no one else gets healed. Wes. Thank you, Wes. Well, mercy. Mercy from one of our elders. Thank you. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for quenching my thirst. When you look at this story, nobody else gets healed at this place. And we've got to ask ourselves, why? Why does no one else get healed? Why just the one guy? What's the deal with that? Is that even fair? Here's why, okay? It's for us to realize that real mercy comes from Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. So even if it's in the crowd, or it doesn't come from the crowd there, it doesn't come from the waters, it doesn't come from the angels, it comes from Jesus Christ. And so if I have received any mercy in my life, ultimately, I have to say, I have received it from Him. The Jewish leaders didn't agree with this. They didn't like this. And so in John 5, verse 10, it says this, and so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." You got to be thinking, like, how could they say that? How could they say that? After 38 years, that's all they could say? What is wrong with these guys? Talk about automatic. Right? Where's the excitement for this man? Why weren't their hearts filled with joy at this healing? Hadn't they read anything in the law of Moses about mercy? Right? Any time in the last 38 years? And here we are in the house of mercy, and yet there was none from these guys. No mercy. Instead, their automatic response was to scold this guy. You know, they were the scripture police, right? They were legalistic about the whole thing. And the irony about it is that these guys knew scripture better than anybody. They knew it cover to cover. And yet it didn't produce in their lives the mercy that it should have. They knew the scripture, but they didn't know Jesus. And there's always, you know, as you study the Bible, there's always these wonderful contrasts in God's Word. And we can see here that it was really the religious leaders that were paralyzed, right? It was really them, right? Unable to feel mercy, unable to recognize the embodiment of truth standing right in front of them. And so as the story goes on, not only did they not care about this healing, they began to hate the healer. And they persecuted him. And in fact, a few verses down, you know, John tells us that they ate their own frog. They ate their own frog. They tried really hard. They tried to kill Jesus. All right, I'm going to pause on the story for 1 second here. This is the Monday night bonus. Okay, Monday night bonus. I told you we flipped the script. We're reading through John. Talked about that. Monday night bonus, okay? My kids were on their way to the Little Debbie's outlet. Now, that's a bad habit right there. Come on. Little Debbie's. Anyone been there? Little Debbie's? Springdale, right? Springdale? You should go there if you want some really yummy snacks. But very bad habit. All right. But they told me on the way there, they heard this story in the car, on the radio. They heard the story of the healing at the pool. And so they were so excited when they got home to tell me that they had heard this story again. And I said, "Well, what do you remember about it?" And they told me, they said, "Those guys cared about breaking the law more than they cared about the man's healing." Touchdown! Yes! Right? That's what my kids told me. They told me that. My kids recognized that story because we went through it together at home. Right? And that's what I need to develop in them. That habit of recognizing the truth when they hear the truth outside of my house. Okay, that is winning the day. Right? That doesn't happen every day. Like, my kids don't just get up out of bed and run and tell me, "Here's what I learned in the Bible today." Okay? I'm not like trying to say that I'm better than anybody or anything like that. But man, those days sometimes are few and far between. I'm like, dude, this is incredible. They need to hear that stuff in our house. And you know, I thought it's possible that that story just goes in one ear and out the other. And it goes completely unnoticed if we don't first say it in our house. I mean, maybe they wouldn't even have recognized it on the radio. But I love those moments in life right? They're the moments that I realize that doing the hard stuff really pays off. It really, really pays off in the end. Amen? Jesus had slipped away after this. Jesus had slipped away into the crowd, and he's gone. But that's not where the story ends. I love this part. John 5:14. It says, later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. Right? So he goes back and finds the guy again to tell him something really important. I think this is really important. If he takes the time to find the guy again. We read from a commentary here. It says, Jesus found him because he was concerned for his spiritual health, not only his physical health. Living a life of sin is worse and will bring a worse result than being crippled for 38 years. Isn't that true? That's true. When you think about eternity and what we're going to have in his presence for eternity, the things that happen here are not as big of a deal. Even things so big of a deal that it's like 38 years of being paralyzed. Jesus says, sin is worse. Right? This man was now permanently healed. This wasn't a temporary thing. It was permanent. But he was more concerned about what was going on inside of him. See, the real house of mercy is the one that we live in, right? This body. And the Bible talks about how this is the temple that God wants to come into and live in. And we've got to invite him in and invite in his mercy in our lives. See, Jesus cared deeply about this man's spiritual health, even more so than his physical health. And so if we receive that kind of mercy from God, we have to take good care of that in our lives and not neglect it anymore. Amen? That's a good story. I love that story. Let's just get into some application here. You know, why does God care so much? Why does he care so much about this stuff in you? Why does he want this from us? Why does he want you to want it? All those questions. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, one you've heard probably 1,000 times, but it doesn't make it any less true. Here it is. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, right? The physical stuff. But it's against rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against, right, the spiritual stuff. The unseen stuff. Spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. He wants us prepared for that. You see, there's going to be days in our lives when we come up against this kind of pressure. Maybe we don't even know what's going on or why it's going on or how it's going on, but we're going to come up against it because it's spiritual and it's unseen. Here's what he says in verse 13. Paul is giving us his advice. He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, I like that, when the day of evil comes, right? Not an if, but a when, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, right, everything that you know how to do, all the things in the flesh, all the physical things. You've done it all. After that, you're able to stand. And if you look at the man in our story, he literally stood up. He stood. But Jesus wanted more. He wanted the man to stand firm in his faith for the rest of his life. And that's what really mattered. And this is a great verse for us to learn from, because it implies that there is a lot of preparation that goes into habit forming. Forming the habits that need to take place in each of our lives. And we need that because there's going to be some rotten days ahead. A few rotten ones that you're going to have to face. But when that day comes, I want you to be ready for it. I want you to be prepared for it. And you've done that because you've put on the armor in your life and you're able to stand firm. You've eaten the frog. You've done the hard stuff. And you've formed the habits that matter in your life. Amen? Amen. The end game for habits and why we need habits, good habits in our life, is that they're going to do two things, okay? Your habits are either going to, they're going to be the cultivation of your walk with God, or they're going to be the agitation of your walk with God. Okay, good habits cultivate our walk with God. Bad habits agitate our walk with God. And so what we need to do is ask ourselves, before we go today, question, what are my habits? What are my habits? Why do I feel so far from God? Well, ask yourself what your habits are. See if there's an answer there. The hard things in life produce the habits to help you become the Christ follower that you want to be. Anything hard in life, you can look at it and you can say, oh, Lord, this hard thing is going to help me produce a habit. That's what you can say. You can let it produce a habit in you. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. Here's what it says. It says, endure hardship as discipline. See, that's the frog. Hardship. That's the frog. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as His children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Wow. Going through something hard today? Here's what you can say. You can say, Lord, thank you that I am your son. Thank you that I am your daughter. Amen? This is what the Bible gives us, man, that encouragement, that perspective that we need. Here's what God's word also says. I'm going to throw another one at you here. Psalm chapter 94, verses 12 and 13. It says this, blessed is the one you discipline. Lord, the one you teach from your law, you grant them relief from the days of trouble until a pit is dug for the wicked. I like that. Sometimes it takes time, right? But he grants us relief from the days of trouble. He's with us. This is how we win the day, right here. God's discipline. Receive it. Want it. And this last verse here, here is possibly the best habit you will ever cultivate in your life. And it does need to be cultivated because it's hard. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 18. Here's what it says. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know what the word habitual means? It means fixed by habit. And this needs to be our mindset when we come to the Word and when we serve the Lord, fix our eyes on what is unseen. Like it's a habit. It's something we do that no matter what comes at you today, your eyes are fixed. Something hard comes, No, I'm not going to take my eyes off of the Father. I'm not going to blame Him. I'm going to trust Him. Amen. Amen. So, I want to encourage you today as we go. I want to encourage you today to take the next step in your life. All right? Eat the frog. Do something hard this week. Something out of the 45% of automatic that you do every single day. Do something hard. Maybe you need to resist temptation this week. Maybe you need to love an enemy this week. Maybe you need to endure some pain a little longer or some suffering. Maybe you need to forgive someone. These are hard things. Maybe you need to get into God's Word. Maybe for the first time ever. Or maybe more than ever. Maybe you just need to trust God in your situation. It's one step at a time. I'm not telling anybody to swallow the whole frog. Okay? One step at a time. Take it in tiny bites. Allow God to work in you a day at a time, daily, until these habits are fully formed in us. Right? And what we automatically do is what God wants us to do. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and we will pray. God, you want so desperately for us to be in relationship with you. You want us to form these spiritual habits in our lives because you care deeply about each one of us and what we're going through. And you know every single thing we're going through and how hard it is right now. But God, teach us to just rest at your feet, to trust you through these hardships, to forgive those that we need to forgive. Be in your word. Become the Christ followers that we want to be. Lord, increase that desire in each one of us. Plant that seed today, and may it grow in each of our hearts, and outside of these walls, and in our homes, and in our families. We trust you. We love you. You are the God of mercy. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Enjoy your day. Say hi to someone before you leave. See you next week.